Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 10, entitled Divisions of the Creation, Text Number 5. Tadvilokyabja sambhuto Vayuna yada distita Padmamambascha tatkala Krita viryena kampita Tadvi lokyabja sambhuta Vayuna yada distita Padmam ambascha tatkala Krita viryena kampita Tadvilokyabja sambhuta Vayuna yada distita Padmam ambascha tatkala Krita viryena kampita Tadvilokya. Looking into that. Abjasambhuta. Whose source of birth was a lotus. Vayuna. By the air. Yat. That. Adhisthitaha, on which he was situated. Patmam, lotus. Amba, water. Cha, also. Tatkalakrita, which was affected by eternal time. Viryena, by its inherent force. Kampitam, trembling. Translation. Thereafter, Brahma saw that both the lotus on which he was situated and the water on which the lotus was growing were trembling due to a strong, violent wind. Purport. The material world is called illusory because it is a place of forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. Thus, one engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the material world may sometimes be very much disturbed by awkward circumstances. There is a declaration of war between the two parties, the illusory energy and the devotee, and sometimes the weak devotees fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful illusory energy. Lord Brahma, however, was sufficiently strong by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his position. Here, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the position of Lord Brahma, who is going through great difficulty. The very base of his existence is shaking, and so naturally there is some anxiety. And Srila Prabhupada begins to explain how there is a war between the illusory energy and the devotee, and how the illusory energy may sometimes cause very adverse conditions. It brings to mind that in the early 60s, Srila Prabhupada was preaching very vigorously and very successfully, until at one point he had this very strong heart attack and then wound up in the hospital at age 70. And Prabhupada in the hospital was saying that Maya was striking, that Maya was thinking that he was getting too successful and therefore she was giving him a death blow. Right. So here we're seeing that Maya can even go to the extent of in causing these adverse conditions, in dishing out death blows, which is quite intense. But the pure devotee is simply taking that also in a Krishna conscious spirit, because the devotee always understands, nimitra matram bhavyasavya sitchin, he sees that ultimately Lord Krishna is the cause of everything that happens. That he knows. We are living in this domain of darkness, where everything is covered and where we don't know what is the cause of everything that is happening, nor do we know really what the three modes of material nature will bring about. We have no idea. But we know one thing as a devotee, that ultimately Krishna is behind everything. And therefore, we always know what to do. There is never a state of confusion for a Vaishnava, right? Although there may be anxiety, it is not that a Vaishnava is an impersonalist. So when his lotus flower is shaking, it is not that he is thinking, oh well, my lotus flower is shaking. He's sitting on the lotus flower thinking, my God, this is really too much. Krishna, save me. We're seeing many examples of the cowherd boys or in Vrindavan who are taking shelter of Krishna, right? Who are turning to Krishna. Or the residents of Vrindavan, when there was a forest fire, they all took shelter of Krishna. Or at the time when Lord Indra sent his devastating rain, then again the devotees were in anxiety. The eternally liberated, transcendental personalities that had descended from the spiritual world were in anxiety just because some material adverse conditions. But then, how is this possible for a transcendental personality? Shouldn't a transcendental personality be unaffected at all times? Always beyond the three modes of material nature and totally unaffected? No. The transcendental personality may also be impressed by the arrangements of the material energy due to its infinitesimal nature. I was listening to an explanation of the verse Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Suhishnina, that one should be more humble than a straw in the street. Right? And Prabhupada said, yes, we should be more humble than a straw in the street, and we should understand that the spirit soul is smaller than a 10,000th of the tip of a hair. So that is much smaller than a blade of grass. So therefore, we should naturally consider that we should be more humble than a blade of grass. Right? That was nice. So, yes, Prabhupada said, as soon as we understand our constitutional position, then automatically we become humble. So when we do understand our constitutional position as being so small and so infinitesimal and so insignificant, 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair, then in comparison to the mighty energy of the Lord, Daivyesa Gunamayi Mama Maya, it is the Maya of the Supreme Lord. It is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, this energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can unleash tremendous powers. The power of the sun is inconceivable. And the power of cold is even more extreme. Right? There is the Shiva Jwara and the Narayan Jwara. And these two weapons representing the weapon, the ultimate weapon of Lord Shiva and the ultimate weapon of Lord Narayan. And on one particular occasion, these weapons were unleashed against each other. And the Shiva Jwara was about to burn the three worlds. But then when the Narayan Jwara came, that ultimate cold, nothing could resist that. Gradually, the cold was overcoming the Shiva Jwara. And gradually, it says, when there is extreme cold, everything stops, it says in that chapter of the Krishna book. And I I remember that part. Everything stops when it gets extreme cold. That is a fact. So there are overwhelming circumstances. Circumstances that are beyond the power of the infinitesimal living being, because they are under control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He is lending the power to the material energy. Nothing exists independent of the Lord. Therefore, even the material energy is not independent of the Lord. Mama Maya Duracheya. And therefore, the living entity cannot necessarily overcome the material energy. It is even stated that on the spiritual platform, it is very interesting that we find that description of the material energy in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhumira Pounalo Vayu, the 8 separated elements, the external energy, and then Aparayamitastvanyam Prakitim Vidimevaram Jivabhuta Mahabaho, that the living entity is superior to that energy. And yet, the superior living entity becomes controlled by the external energy. This is the interesting part. Right? Although he's superior, he falls prey to that inferior energy. And it is said he does fall prey to that inferior energy because it has received its power from the Supreme Lord. And therefore, a pure devotee is not necessarily oblivious to the material circumstances, although he's transcendental. Therefore, the pure devotee may also be affected, and he may experience anxiety when the conditions are not looking favorable. Prabhupada also showed symptoms of anxiety when Tamal Krishna Maharaj did not come back after Prabhupada had sent him to Mayapur to buy the land. Prabhupada was in anxiety. He did not rest. It was late at night and he was waiting. He was waiting in his room in Calcutta. He was waiting for Tamal to return. Right? You know, typical, like, where is he? You know, what's going on? Right? Like the typical type of anxiety one has when someone's supposed to come home and he doesn't come. Right? Wasn't Prabhupada transcendental? Yes, he was totally transcendental. His anxiety was also transcendental. So this is the difference between impersonalism and personalism. That in personalism, the experiences may be there, but the devotee will always turn to Krishna. Always, at all times. So it's not that we have no feelings, that a devotee has no emotions or anything like that. A devotee has all these feelings, but naturally always, in all conditions of life, turns to Krishna. So Lord Brahma also did so. And therefore, the adverse conditions could never affect him in that sense. They could never affect his natural inclination to take shelter of Krishna. Rather, vipada santutasa svatata tata jagadguru. As the dangers in the material world are increasing, the devotee's dependence on Krishna is also increasing, as Kunti Devi stated. So, in this way, adverse conditions are not truly adverse, and they are meant to increase our dependence on the Supreme Lord. It is said that in previous ages, the renunciants would go into the jungles. Right? They would go into the jungles where there were tigers, etc. And they would just stay there amidst all these voracious animals. And one of the purposes of doing that was to increase their dependence on the Supreme Lord. Just depend on the Supreme Lord. In modern time, we can also do that by preaching fearlessly. One can go to very dangerous places in this world. One can go and preach in the Middle East, right? Risky affair. Mm-hmm. Devotees have done many times. One can go to Africa and preach in Africa. It's like, well, nice place, Africa, but a little intense. Like In Durban, you have these little Mitsubishi taxis. They're vans, and in there, there is this intense bass music. So loud that all the windows of the houses are rattling as they are driving by. Right? Really, like you hear this bass, the vibration so strong. And they have all these slogans on the windshield. And on one of these taxis, it said, "Natural born killers." They're not shy about it, are they? The murder rate in South Africa is the highest in the world. Anyway, so like that, we can see that Africa also has its dangerous features. But what can we do? What can we do? We have to depend on Krishna in all circumstances. We must go on, depend on Krishna, even in adverse activity. So even in the present day circumstances, there is enough risk. What are we going to do when the war breaks loose? Right? Are we finally going to eat the Y2K supplies? Right? That are still stocked in so many temples? Right? Maybe. But if we stock too much grain, right, in case of war, we could start again. We could pack up the temple with lots of grain and the basement full with supplies so that we could easily come through 5 years of war. But the problem with doing that is that it will attract certain other parties who will be hungry, and they'll come after the grain. Right? They'll be seeing, hey, these Hare Krishnas are eating well. They must have grain, right? And they don't come just... And first they come for the free food for life, etc. And then they'll come to steal the whole stock, right? That's what happens. Therefore, to stock grains is not a good idea, right? And my advice is don't stock grains, right? My advice is stock books, right? Stock, fill up the whole place with books, right? I'll tell you why. Because no one will come to steal the books, see? But we can exchange these books for grains. Yeah? During the war, we'll go out, distribute the books, and get grains in return. And this way, we'll eat, and no one will come and steal our books, you know, some religious books. I mean, who would come and steal those? And even if they steal them, we don't mind. Yeah. So, in that way, my advice is, stock books. And Srila Prabhupada told also the devotees to invest all their money in books. And then Prabhupada said, yes, and then you distribute them. And then if you don't distribute them, then you just starve, Prabhupada said. So this is our tradition. And in that way, we certainly are not always having an easy mission. In our mission also, we have to have this transcendental vision of taking shelter of the Lord in the midst of adverse circumstances. The three modes of material nature are also under the control of the Supreme Lord. And it is actually the Supreme Lord who is making all these arrangements to test the devotee. Maya is acting as an agent on behalf of the Lord to test the devotee. So we should be ready to be tested. This will happen. We must be tested. And in very subtle ways we will be tested. So we must be very careful. It is only possible if we stay very close to Krishna. Daiviyesa gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye papadyante. Only when we stay very close to Krishna can we overcome this influence of Maya. So staying very close to Krishna means that we must indeed act with great humility according to our constitutional position. As soon as we become proud, there is a distance between us and Krishna. As soon as we think that any of the attributes that we have are glorious, then we will have to immediately experience some distance from Krishna. That attribute comes between us and Krishna. Prabhupada also explains, he says that there is no opulence in this world that we can have that can attract Krishna. Nothing. Nothing that we can have in this world that can ever attract Krishna, because he's Sadaiswaryapurna. He has all the opulences already, in full. So, you know, we may have a great opulence, but Krishna has that same opulence in full. So it cannot impress Krishna at all. He's not impressed. He's not impressed by our learning. Not impressed by anything we have. Nothing. And we may be impressed. People may be impressed, you know. We may be. But Krishna is not. Right? So, therefore, all these attributes that we may acquire and may have acquired should be just taken in a very aloof spirit. They are with us now. Therefore, we were always taught to, whenever we had anything to write in a book in the beginning, under the care of, right? Or in the care of, like that. You know, not, this is the property of such and such das, and if you dare to touch it, you will be cursed for many lifetimes. Leave this book, watch out. You will fall down. Even that won't help. The devotees just will politely cut out that page and leave that on the table and take the book. Because what is wrong with borrowing a book? And well, can you blame someone when he forgets to give it back? We're so busy in devotional service. I didn't steal that book. So no devotees ever steal books. That is a well-known fact. We only borrow books. Anyhow, so in essence, we have to be very careful to remain close to Krishna. Close to Krishna means that we realize that we are the object of mercy of Krishna. Close to Krishna means that we are an open receptacle, like Prabhupada was describing, that the sun rays are available to all, but some people, they just block them out. They don't let them in. Then what can we do? So, nirmatsaranam satam, we must be free from envy, otherwise we are blocking out the natural mercy of Krishna. We must be free from lust, otherwise we are blocking out the mercy of Krishna. To that extent that we are under the influence of lust, to that extent we are blocking out the mercy of Krishna. So, lust may be there, but we cannot entertain it. Right. We cannot make lust a dining partner and sit with lust at the dinner table and enter into a conversation and offer the menu card and say, what would you want, my dear lust? Well, I'll have a look. Well, give me some of that. Yes, very good. All right, yes. No, whatever you like. I'm shouting. Right? I'm shouting. No, we cannot entertain lust like this, in the hope that lust will become favorable to us. Right? No. Whatever lust wants, let lust go to hell. Right? That's our motto. Sorry, lust, you know, there's no room for you. Right? When lust comes in the door, open the window and let lust go straight out the other side. Right? Do not offer lust a seat, right? While lust enters into the room, let lust stand, and no water, nothing. Offer it nothing. Lust will always want more. Kamadinam pulita, kamadinam kutita pulita dunidesam tesam jatamayi nakaruna nataputraya. That lust will never be satisfied, no matter how much we offer, right? It will not be satisfied. So we should not fall in the trap of beginning to offer it something. Prabhupada gives the description of what you do when you catch a tiger. Now, for us, indeed, that would be a problem. Imagine you have a cage, and you catch a tiger, then you go, my God, what am I going to do now? Now I have a tiger in a cage. What do you do next when you've caught a tiger? Right. Prabhupada gives the solution. He said, well, first you have the tiger in a small cage. Okay, the system is somehow or other, transport the small cage carefully into a big cage. There you put the tiger and you starve the tiger. And let him fast. Right? So anybody has experienced on a long fast what it's like. You get rubber legs, right? You start to wobble, you can hardly walk. So even a tiger feels a little weak. You know? Then, when the tiger is really weak, you go in the cage with your boots, your whip, and your chair. You know, you know, you go like, stick the chair in his nose and whack, 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 whack. Beat that tiger, right? Tiger goes, oh, he's already hungry and weak, gets beaten and chased into the corner of the cage, right? You give him, when he's there, you give him a last nasty bah, like whack. And then you go outside, right? And you let him starve more. God, can you imagine how miserable the tiger feels, right? Total misery. Starve, 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 right? So, and then, you know, after he's even fasted more, you go in the cage again. And you already have the stool in your hand and the whip and the boots and everything. And you walk up to that tiger. And the tiger already, before you hit him, goes into the corner. No, no, not more. He said, at that point, right, then you feed him, right? At that point, the tiger surrenders, you know, he surrenders. You are my master. Anything, you know, you want, please be kind to me, you know, like that. So Prabhupada says the senses are the same, the same. They should be treated like that tiger. That's why we went through the whole description, that we should treat the senses exactly the same, like that tiger. Yeah. And in one lecture, Prabhupada gives this explanation. So, what to do? We cannot entertain Maya. We cannot. Yeah. And of course, one may say, well, you know, but there are different ashrams. And, you know, in the different ashrams, there are different standards for that. See, there are some ashrams where you can have, like, you can have a lunch with Maya, but, you know, you have to be a little careful, right, what is taken. It has, of course, it has to be vegetarian, and, like, you know, you can't... there can be no alcohol in the apple cider, but the bubbles can be there, you know, that's all right, you know, you have the bubbles. Right. And all these things. Yes, okay. So we can stretch the limits, right? And but that's of course quite dangerous. Two devotees, they went to the south of France and they stood on the beach, hands still in the japa bag, right, looking at the beach in Saint-Tropez, and they said, Prabhu, yes, I think we've taken it to the edge. Yes, one can take it to the edge, right? One can stand on a cliff, right, and look straight down, right? One can, yeah. See, that's a big drop down there, isn't it? Yes, it is, isn't it? It's risky. So we are not recommended to... take it to that extent. Right. We are recommended to keep a safe distance from the deep drop. Right. One cannot be casual with Maya ever. Right. Because it may just happen. That little gust of wind, right, just while you're standing there, right, it could happen. Right. That little unexpected crack, right, just as you're standing on the edge. Totally in balance. Me, oh, my balance, my sense of balance is perfect. Even when I was a kid, you know, like, I mean, I could walk tight ropes as if it's nothing, you know, like, I've always been the most balanced person you can imagine. Yes, my astrological sign is Libra, you know, I'm balanced, right? Balanced is my motto, you know, balanced is what I am, yes. Yes, you may be the most balanced person in the universe, and therefore you may think, you know, a little drop's not going to get me. I can keep my balance. But what about that little unforeseen circumstances, that little crack that suddenly comes in the rock, that piece that falls down? I have been in the Himalayas, and at that time I was staying in the Tibetan village high up in the Himalayas, and it was in the rainy season. And every day I had to walk down from the village to the library, right, which was, they had a very big library, right, still bigger than the library we have here, right, quite big. And so this was a big success, that library. There were so many people in that library, and it was like full of books, really impressive. So me too, no, interesting library. So I'd go every day to the library, check it out. And one day I walked down the mountain. It was the rainy season, and it does happen in the Himalayas in the rainy season. One day I walked down, and a whole portion of the road had fallen down. Right? A whole portion of the road, maybe 10 meters of road, gone. The whole thing gone. There was a huge, big, gaping hole. The previous day I had been walking there, and now it was gone. It's like, my God, look at that, right? The whole road just disappeared, right? Just like that. Krishna blocked me from going to the Tibetan library. He was very kind. It wasn't long after that I actually took to Krishna consciousness. And maybe 1 week later. So it may be Krishna who made the road drop down the mountain, right? Without a doubt. But it made it very clear that we are not in control. A whole road disappeared. Who calculates that? You calculate lots of things, but not that part, you know. You may calculate like, okay, I got my anti-slip shoes on, right? So, you know, I'm safe, right? Yes. Maya won't touch me. I'm chanting 16 rounds, right? I'm okay, you know. I mean, I've read my chapter of Bhagavad Gita today, so I think it's okay if we go to this movie, right? I don't think it's that bad, you know. I'll close my eyes at the wrong scenes, you know, no problem. When it gets too much, I'll just look the other way. But I think that, like, you know, it's very important that we don't become too isolated from society at large, you know. I mean, since I'm going to the movies, I can preach much better. So many philosophies are floating around, and all these philosophies are born out of convenience, out of the desire to tango with Maya, right? So if we want to tango with Maya, okay, we can, right? That's what Maya is for. Always ready to tangle, right? And this is the nature of the illusory energy. So, whatever desire is manifesting, it should be ignored. And we should just fill our time with Krishna. This is the recommendation. Right? This is the point one has to come to. And if one cannot come to that point, then still it should be one's goal, and still one should try to approach it. Right? Even if one says, well, you know, I cannot be so, you know, it's fine, no problem. But still it should be the meditation, that one day I'm going to be there, I'm going to work on this. Otherwise, one has given up. Otherwise, one has said, well, what can I do? Right? It's so heavy, there may have to be some compromise sometimes. And if there's some compromise sometimes, then every time again one has to consider, is maybe this time sometimes. Right? If you allow any compromise, any time, then each time again you have to consider whether this is the time to allow some compromise. So therefore, ultimately, this is a non-compromising process. It is meant for that. Like Prabhupada said, sex life, it is meant to be given up. That is our aim. Let's talk about the shaking lotus flower, right? It's when sex life addresses itself that the lotus flower starts shaking, isn't it? It's when sex appears on the scene that suddenly everything becomes very, very difficult, right? And very tense, right? And that is what it is. So So Prabhupada said, ultimately, it is meant to be reduced to nil. So that is the aim. The Grihastha Ashram is the gradual process of reducing sex life to nil, and other ashrams are just immediately making it nil. Right? Then one has to still deal, at least on the gross platform, then one still has to deal with it on the subtle platform, in the sense of profit distinction adoration. And therefore, it is humility, again, that will save us from falling victim to the pushings of the senses, the onslaught of sex life. So Lord Brahma was firmly fixed in transcendence. Lord Brahma is a very pious personality. He is the most pious personality in the entire universe. We are not pious. We are by nature inclined towards sinful activity. As soon as we are not fixed up in a very strict regulated process, then we tend towards sinful activity. The mind starts dwelling on sinful activity. The inclinations are all for sinful activity. This is our position. We should not underestimate the sinful nature of our births. Wasn't it yesterday that after Mangalartik they were reading all these different sinful births that are the combinations of various castes, etc.? We're way below that. It said, all these mixtures were given of different castes, and they were always, these are very sinful. These classes are all very sinful. We're below that. We're below that. So if they are very sinful, then we must be very, 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 right? So our natural inclination is towards that. So if somehow or other we make a very nice program full of spiritual activity, it can be done. And that is the only strength there is in Krishna consciousness. No one has strength on his own. It is just strength that comes from a strong Krishna conscious program. And durgame patimem dasyas kalat padagatir mohu yad kripa svastidanina santa santavalambanam. My path is very difficult, my feet are slipping again and again. It is the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas that is my support. We must stay with the devotees and together worship Krishna and have a very strong spiritual culture. Then we can renounce sense gratification. Then we can say goodbye to Maya. Then it can be done. Any questions, any comments? Very simple.
When, I don't know actually how to put the question, but 20 years ago, then I felt that he was far more strict. We were taking hot showers, just cold showers. We didn't sleep in beds. We never read anything. We never put on the radio. We were going out on Sankaran 12 hours a day. When we took a little nap, 5 minutes for waking up after 5 minutes, no longer. No, like extremely strict. And which in one sense was very nice to be like that. But then, you know, sometimes people say, well, where are they now?
Yeah. If I look at 20 years ago or 25 years ago, I felt that that strictness was there, but I was really missing something. I was missing love in those days. You know, I felt an acute, it was my biggest problem. It's why I couldn't stay in certain temples and just left from there, because there was all that strictness, but there was no, there were no warm, personal, caring relationships. The process was so sacred that, you know, you had to follow it, and if you didn't, you were fallen and out of it. And there was no such thing as that, like, you are a human being with your nature, your limitations, and let us now try and follow this wonderful, very strict process, and let us help each other to do that. No, it was follow it or be fallen, you know, be in mire, and, you know, like, just be out of it, with us or against us, kind of mood. So I think that what was lacking was that loving attitude. But the strictness in itself was good. I think so. I think it was actually good. And the liberalism of today, I think it's a bit, it's gone a bit too far, if you're asking me. We're watering down things now. I think the pendulum will have to swing back. It's not that you can sleep only 5 minutes if you're dead dog tired and you've already slept 5 hours and 55 minutes and therefore you have only 5 minutes left of your quota. I admit, I used to do that. I used to do that in my first year in Krishna consciousness. That's what I did. It was 6 hours sleep, so I was trying to not sleep too much at night, so I had some time left in the day, and I was calculating exactly how many minutes I had left, and that was it, you know. I sleep that extra in the day, not a minute more, you know. Get up. Yes.
I also have a very funny story. I like to sit in the sun, you know, with my shield off. Of course, it was never done, that's mine. No, then one time I was working in the framing, you know, it's Prema Framer. I was sitting in the cold, damp basement, working 12, 15 hours a day, making frames. And then it was beautiful weather in Brandon, she told me, the sun was shining like anything. And for 14 days I was sitting, I'm going to sit outside here for 10 minutes. I said, no, this is my account. But after 14 days, it was too much. I went outside, so I was sitting in the sun, chanting, of course. And then I was, wow, so nice, well, it can't be nice. Whatever you have to enjoy now, you're going to struggle later. But anyway, I said, well, so nice, maybe I should just lay down in the grass for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. You know, working 20 hours already last week. Or and then maybe you should put my shirt off. But anyway, put my shirt off, lay down in the grass. And then a big ant bit me on the back. Oh, you see, this is Krishna. I mean, there was a normal cut.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. But, you know, I was talking about the two devotees with their beat bag on the border of the beach of Saint-Tropez. And then there are devotees that have taken it one step further and have went to the beach, right? And we're lying on the beach there in Saint-Tropez. And, well, I don't know how much time they were still spending with their beat bags and if they could still find them after 1 week, right? One must be careful. I think that the initial strictness, the mood of strictness was good, the spirit of it was all right, but the way it was applied was maybe not understood correctly, because it was more based on the motive passion. I have in the past given an explanation of the determination of the kshatriya and the determination of the brahmana, and how it is different, and can shortly explain it again. We see the story of Karna, and Karna, you know, was the servant of his spiritual masters, Gautam Parashuram, sleeping on his lap with the head, etc., and this insect dug into the leg of Karna, bleeding like anything. Parashuram woke up and saw the blood and said, "What happened?" And he smelled kshatriya. His thing, that like, how could you tolerate this insect bite? Without moving. So I think, well, I didn't want to move, I didn't want to disturb my spiritual master. But how could you tolerate? You are a kshatriya. Because a kshatriya tolerates on the strength of determination. Right? All determination. Whereas a brahmana's tolerance, right, is of a different nature. It was not as a brahmana could not have tolerated that extreme pain. But a brahmana's tolerance is still more outstanding than the tolerance of a kshatriya, because a brahmana's tolerance has endurance, because it's based on knowledge and philosophy. Therefore, a brahmana's tolerance is not that same, like, I'm gonna do it, you know, like, but a brahmana's tolerance is more peaceful. He takes a little less austerity, but he lasts, right? Whereas this kshatriya type of determination, right, can for a while tolerate extreme things, right? Ice water, right? I mean, the taps were cut off with a hacksaw, So there was no way you could even bring your own tap in Radhadesh, the first winter, and there was no heating even, right? There was no heating in this building, right? Nothing, only, yes, the temple room upstairs had some heating, right? And the offices had some heating. And boy, then the bhakta room had some heating. I mean, I immediately volunteered for bhakta classes. It was the only way to survive, you know. It's like, otherwise you weren't allowed in that bhakta room. I was, because I was giving bhakta classes. Yeah.
Where's my
bhakta room? Well, I gave some. Yeah, I remember you were there. Bhakta Vilam and Bhakta Hemam. I remember. Yeah.
Adverse circumstances to the devotee, even to the point of death. He said he sees that the cause is Krishna. He even quoted some verse.
Yeah.
I was curious which verse it was, but I also wanted you to maybe tie together the two points that you made at the end of class. The second point was that adverse circumstances for the devotee are caused by this sex attraction.
Hold on. I mean, you're jumping a little. I'm missing the link now.
Sure. He said Krishna sends very awkward circumstances, and then you quote the verse.
Yeah, that was Nimitra Mahavambhava Satya Savya Satchin from Bhagavad Gita, where it is where Arjuna is stating that he's totally the instrument of Krishna. See, in Nimitta, the word Nimitta is referring to the original cause, Krishna. So Arjuna was always seeing Nimitta, Nimitta Matram. He was always seeing at all times that Krishna was the original cause of everything. And in that way he became the perfect instrument of Krishna.
Then what about when, like you said at the end of class, the lotus leaf, or the base of ours is into the lotus flowers trembling. And you said sex life grows too subtle is what makes it tremble. So, in that case, would the devotee also see the cause is Krishna?
Krishna's testing us, right, through Maya. I mean, Krishna, Maya derives her power from Krishna, Mama Maya, Durachaya. So in that sense, the devotee sees that indirectly, also there, Krishna is testing me now. Yes. It is Krishna who is testing me. So this illusory form that appears now in front of me and looks so attractive and that makes me really think, fall down. Now, Krishna is watching me. Right? At this point, Krishna is actually looking at me. Right? At other times, maybe, you know, less, but now especially, he's looking at me. We should think like that. We should just see that it's nothing is... We're never alone, and at those moments, Krishna wants us to pass that test. Yeah. So, it's another extra impetus again to see Krishna. Although Krishna is not the cause of it, it may just be the three modes of material nature that naturally produce such tests. When one is in the material world, sex will address itself. And Krishna doesn't have to interfere to make that arrangement. It's already there, and it will come again and again in so many ways. From the mind, from the body, from external sources. And we have to just ignore and preoccupy ourselves with devotional service. What to do? That was it. What else would you want to churn out of this topic?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but
in the synonym for today's verse, this tat kala kripa virgin is that it means that the lotus flower was affected by eternal time.
Yes.
And that doesn't show up at all in the translation of Prabhupada.
True. Yeah. Well, eternal time in producing the three modes of material nature, right? Just as Bhishma Dev is speaking about the direction of time when Yudhisthira Maharaj is feeling overwhelmed at what happened in Kurukshetra, then Bhishma Dev said it's simply the direction of eternal time. So it's eternal time that's interacting. So in the same context, we should take it here that eternal time refers to the interaction of the modes of material nature, which are manifestations of eternal time. And they bring about all the circumstances and all the different things that can shake us. So many things can shake us. You know, death of your mother can shake death of, like that. There are so many things that can shake us up deeply. And
in the first Trinavista, Saishuna, Tara Pisaishuna, is it Tara Pisaishuna or Tara Vasaishuna?
Why don't you look it up in the book? No, but I'm saying to him, why don't you look it up in the book for a good reason? It's like you shouldn't ask such kind of questions. I don't like to answer.
You
just no, just look them up. Why would you? The book's better than me. It's written in written form, so just look there. It's better. These things you learn from a book. You know, questions should be a little more philosophical. Don't want to be unfriendly or something, but that's fine. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.